This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, good morning, one and all, and despite the rather wet start to the day, I have it on really good authority.
Yes.
Because I was expressing some concerns of folks who might be gathering tonight at 8:30 Jurassic Park. It's going to be really, really wet. And you said, nope. Rain's going to end 8 o'clock, boom, boom, right?
It is. The rain's going to, there'll be no rain for the game. However, yes, they open Jurassic Park at 6:30 and it will still be raining then, I'm afraid. And there's no umbrellas allowed.
That's right.
Ponchos only or green garbage bags.
But all the best to the guys. My God, I can't.
Yeah, go Raptors.
The excitement in town is just incredible.
And
hey, the number of tourists in town too.
Did you know what it costs to see these games?
Yeah, $600 or something.
For tonight's game, they make it to the finals, the cheapest ticket is $990.
Oh, mere
like we're talking, you know,
give me three or four of those.
Oh, yeah, nosebleed section, $1,000. Anyway.
Oh, by the way, this is The Garden Show.
It is.
Yeah.
But we don't mind talking about the Raptors because we're
Frank Proctor,
pretty
your
big
fans. Chef of the Garden. Got to get the phone numbers on the air here. All righty. In Toronto, call 416-360-0740. Then anywhere else in the province, toll free 1-866-740-4740. And, our little mantra, if you'll keep this in mind, call early, call often, one question per call. And if you happen to be
First-time caller.
I've left my bell.
Ding, 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 ding.
Ding, ding, ding. Get a little,
Frank's going to have to take a run.
I am indeed.
Our break.
Oh, my gosh.
It's okay because today's your birthday. So happy birthday.
Thank you.
So it's okay. You're forgiven of anything you might forget. It is your birthday.
Well, thank you, Kim and Maureen, for sending me some nice little messages.
Oh,
happy birthday.
Nice. So
appreciate it.
Big
that.
Birthday greetings to Franklin Proctor.
Thank you so much.
And today's a big day. I mean, there's a lot going on. We have a special guest here on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Carson Arthur will be joining us, and some of you will have heard of Carson. He's been around for roughly 20 years in the industry as a gardener, as a lifestyle guru. Mm-hmm. He does City Line. He's just published a book called Vegetables, Chickens, and Bees. And he's moved and is living out in Prince Edward County. He hosts a radio show in Belleville, a garden show, on 800 AM CJBQ. I wanted to bring him on the show to promote him and his book and his new retail venture, but he's hosting his show. So I said, okay, well, why don't we talk on air? We'll both interview each other on our shows.
There you are.
So if it works, it works. We're going to try and see if this, you know, technology can handle two people live at their own different stations.
Excitement.
Yes, right. Talking on air about gardening, about Prince Edward County, about what's going on out there. And as you know, I'm moving there this summer. So, you know, nice to hear about what's going on there. Also today, the Oro Medonte Hort Society is hosting their plant sale. It starts at 10 a.m. It's a rain or shine event. It's at the Oro Fairgrounds, which is 15th, 16th Side Road and Line 7 North. Lots of locally grown, reasonably priced perennials, annuals, herbs, shrubs, trees, and even Ontario grown roses. Also today, a combined spring plant sale in Guelph. It's happening at 29 Waterworks Place. It's combined with a bunch of different groups, the Guelph Master Gardeners, the Pollination Guelph Group, the Nature Guelph Wildflower Society. Again, rain or shine event, lots of great deals and lots of great plants at the local plant sales, because it obviously thrives for some member in the group. It's going to thrive for you as well.
There you go.
Good to know. Doors open. It's happening today and tomorrow. And you and Sebastian are looking very handsome.
Well, thank you very
in
much.
Your Zoomer apparel.
Thank you.
I missed that memo.
Yeah. I'm going to be here again tomorrow from 10 through till 2.
Wow.
So, wow.
Aren't you something?
Yeah.
The ambassador.
Well, I would hope. Yeah.
Franklin, ambassador of Zoomer Radio. So come on down to 70 Jefferson Avenue, see the studios, meet Frank, meet Sebastian, notice how handsome they are. And that's today and tomorrow, 10 to 5. Okay, the Garden Clubs of Ontario are presenting Music in Bloom, which is kind of a cool idea. It's a floral design and hort show, including rooms, like we're talking rooms of displays, judged floral art, horticultural exhibits, speakers, demonstrations. It's all happening at the RBG Wednesday, May 29th, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Thursday, May 30th, again, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Just have to pay to get into the RBG and you're in to the Music and Bloom show. Saturday, June 1st, the Barrie Garden Club is holding their annual plant sale, 9 a.m. to noon, again, rain or shine. Meet in the parking lot of East Bayfield Community Center on Livingston Street, cash sales only. And generally speaking, cash sales only for all these plant sales. And one other, June 1st, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m., St. Paul's Anglican Church Plant Sale Extravaganza.
All righty.
Young and Mapleview in Barrie. All right, so there it is. Huge selections. Lots going on.
Okay, and lots going on here in the Garden Show. We'll get back to all of that. Let me run to my desk and get the bell.
The famous bell.
Which, the famous bell, which I'd forgotten.
Look, because we have a caller from Oakville.
I know.
You need the bell. She needs her wings.
And we also have a caller from Lockport, New York.
Excellent.
Waiting online. So back with that in just a moment here in the Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All right, Charlie. Frankie's got the bell here.
Yes, that was quite a mad dash.
Indeed it was. Okay, this goes out to first-time caller Barbara in Lockport, New York, who called in just a little bit late last week. We said, hey, call early next time. And here she is.
Yeah, good job.
Golly. Welcome here, Barbara. Welcome. Hi, Barbara.
Happy birthday. Yeah, happy birthday, Frank.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, Charlie. We live in the country, mm-hmm. and we have an asparagus patch and have had it for several years. And this year we're having trouble with mice or mold getting under the ground and possibly eating the roots. And we're wondering what we can put on it to stop them.
Wow.
The last year's seedling, we let lay on top.
Right.
We've done that for years, but this year is a problem. What can we do?
So when you say last year, seedlings, meaning when the little ferns went to fruit.
You let it grow up, grow tall to the fern type thing and let it lay there.
Right, okay. And so this year you've cut it all down?
Yeah, oh, yes.
And
it's been taken off.
All right, moles don't eat vegetables, so it's probably not moles, but voles do. And they look a lot the same. So voles are vegetarians, and so they will tunnel under the ground and they'll chew the roots on things. But it's a good question. How do you control them? If they're anything like, you've got to look on your face.
Yeah, there is a device apparently that you can put in little vole holes.
Yes.
And it's electronic and it gives a
high pitch.
Yeah. Exactly. And the voles do not like that. And they depart. Get back out of there.
So that, yes, exactly. So it's like an ultrasonic thing, battery
operated. I can't remember the name of it, but
you
would
get it at a hardware store.
I would think so.
I know this works with groundhogs, is the juicy fruit gum.
Oh,
you just chew it a little tiny bit and then you
and
drop it.
And they don't like
it.
That?
Well, they are very attracted.
That would be easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're very attracted to the smell, the sweet smell of juicy fruit gum. It's got to be the stick juicy fruit, not the chiclet form.
Okay, yeah.
And they eat it and then it kills them. Like they
can't digest it.
Well. So it's kind of a horrible way to kill them, but it is apparently something that can work. Otherwise, yes, that's not an easy one. It's all about repellents. Now, there is a product that repels just about everything called Plant Skid. I've mentioned it on the show before, and I'm sure it's, again, very available at a hardware store or any garden center near you. Plant Skid is out of Finland, actually. It's spelled plant, P-L-A-N-T, and it's all one word, S-K, YDD. So plant skid or skide. And it's a repellent. Okay. And it says right on it, deer, rabbits, voles, and small critters.
There you go.
It's 100% organic, and it's effective for up to 6 months. So that's worth, and that's a spray. You spray that onto your susceptible plants.
Yeah, give that a try, maybe, Barbara.
And then, of course, we always wash it off anyway, so that wouldn't harm a human.
No, exactly. It's 100% organic. It's definitely designed to go onto edible crops.
Okay.
Okay.
Great.
So
all right.
Just an idea. Let us know how that works out. Thanks for calling.
Keep in touch, Barbara.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All righty. Hey, we're off and running here today. We've got John on the line just around the corner here in Toronto. Good morning, John.
Hi.
Good morning.
I've got one question, but it's got two parts to it.
Okay.
You are sneaky.
Okay. I wanted to get the Epsom salt recipe for tomato plants.
Mm-hmm.
And how much Epsom salt do you put in, how much water, and how often do you apply it?
Huh. Okay. So I wonder if you're thinking of the recipe that his name just going to...
Oh, yeah.
I did it last year, and I didn't write it down.
Yeah, and that, but that's not Epsom salt-based. That one is milk powder-based.
Oh, milk powder.
From one of our listeners. But Epsom salt is a magical product available at any drugstore, can work for... you know, making you feel better after a hard day in the garden and a good soak in the tub. It cures just about everything that happens to any human being and animal. But, and on their website, of course, the Epsom salt, company, the Epsom salt people have, it's called the Epsom Salt Council. And so they have a quite a good website, epsomsalt.org, all one word, actually epsomsaltcouncil.org. And when we look through under gardening, under tomatoes, it says tomatoes can benefit from Epsom salt every 2 weeks. Apply 1 tablespoon diluted in water per foot of plant height per plant. So that, and of course, what is Epsom salt? It's magnesium sulfate. Magnesium and sulfur are, well, magnesium is an absolutely essential nutrient for all plants, all living plants. And it never hurts to add sulfur, particularly in our world of very limey, alkali type soil. So Epsom salts do wonders to help with plant growth.
Well, there you go.
But I will go back. Warner Tilsonberg.
Yes, that's right.
Gave us that great recipe last year, and a couple of people asked for it. And it's quite a fancy one. So keep your pan out, and I'll dig back and give you that recipe as well.
Okay, great. Okay, I have my pan, and I'm ready.
All right,
John. Thank you.
And at my age, I do need that Epsom salt.
There you go. Can't go wrong with Epsom salt.
Mirroring my thoughts exactly. All righty, my friend. We're going to take a little bit of a break here. Give us time to regroup and
find
get
that
ready
recipe.
And also get the bell out for Jenny, first time caller from Oakville. That happens moments from now. Here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All right, Charlie, before we get to our phone call, you have the recipe yet.
John was absolutely right. I neglected to remember that Epsom salt are part of Warner's famous recipe.
There you go.
Okay. So this was called into us last year in June from Warner and Tilsonberg, and we've spoken to him a couple times since then. He swears by this recipe. Yeah. So if you're planting tomatoes this year, before you plant or while you're planting, what he does is he puts skim milk powder in the planting hole as he's planting. Now, that's to add calcium because we know how important calcium is to have healthy tomatoes. Then he takes a water bottle, cuts the bottom out of the water bottle, jams it into the soil with the narrow end into the soil and the open end sticking up out of the soil. And over the period of time while the tomatoes are growing, when it's time to water the plants, every week, he will put 2 teaspoons of fat-free milk, so that's that skim milk powder,
right,
1 teaspoon of Epsom salts into that water bottle, and then water into the water bottle as well, which of course dissolves both the salts and the milk and feeds it down to the roots of the tomatoes. And he claims that
he has
the biggest, best tomatoes anywhere. So there it is, a water bottle, 2 teaspoons of fat-free or, you know, skim milk powder, and 1 teaspoon of Epsom salt weekly.
Okay. Now, Jenny, who is in Oakville and has been waiting patiently, There you go. You got your garden wings. Jenny, good morning.
Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Frank and Charlie. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I know we're getting a lot of rain, and it's really causing a lot more excessive moss problems in my backyard, which has a tendency to be damp on about half of the yard because of drainage problems due to the house behind us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I like to get rid of the mosses because it's starting to creep into the lawn now, too.
Uh-huh.
Well, well, well. Okay, so you're right. Honestly, you recognize that the problem is that people behind you have changed the grade. And
no, the grade has always been higher. And what they did to make matters worse, they extended three drain pipes right down to my within a yard of my property line.
Oh,
and City Hall says they are legally entitled to do so.
Right.
I could always take them to court if this problem is who wants to go through that hassle.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
No, that's right. But you need to do what you can, and you may have to bring in a professional landscape contractor to do this, is you need to make sure that that water that they're draining on to your yard drains off of your yard. So it may mean raising the grade in the center of your yard and putting in some swales along the your property lines. It also will probably mean putting, just like they did, it's like a weeping tile, it's called. So it's the long plastic pipes with perforations in it, and it moves the water slowly through the underground to where you want it to go. So depending on where your drainage, sometimes it goes out to the street, and sometimes it goes to the back. It kind of just depends on how the grading is. So I would get a professional into your property to give you the best advice on what to do there.
Okay.
Okay.
Time.
That's great.
Thanks, Jenny.
You're getting some messages from our studio.
Yeah, I'm getting some talk in my headphones here. So Sebastian, I think, is telling us that Carson is joining us. Is that true, Sebastian?
Yes, Charlie.
Hey.
Oh, there we
hello,
are.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Excellent. Carson, this is Frank.
Hi, Carson.
Hi, Frank. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
It's his birthday today, too.
Oh, happy birthday, Frank.
Well, you are my present, you see. Now, isn't that nice?
I was showing him your book. I might have to give him your book as his present, actually.
Yay.
He likes the looks of this.
Vegetable and Chickens and Bees. I love that title.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I'm going to apologize in advance because I swear in that book.
Yes, you do, but you don't need to apologize.
Okay, okay.
Don't we all swear?
Yeah.
I just feel like every now and then you just have that moment where gardening is just requiring a few swear words.
Let loose. Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's like that other word for manure, right? So it's like anything. There's multi words.
Yeah, it gets shouted out into the forest all the time around my garden lately, especially with the rabbits.
Oh, you got a rabbit? But I notice you look very well fenced in on your garden. They're getting...
True, but all the perennials are on the outside of the big ridge.
Are they getting chewed, are they?
They are, and I've been using Bobex, which I find is a great product.
What's called?
Bobex?
Bobex. I've never heard of it.
Yeah, it's got coyote urine mixed in.
Oh, good. Yeah, yeah, that could work.
Yeah, it's one of those. What do you use for your rabbits?
You know what? I'll tell you what I use. Long time ago, little baby rabbits fell into my window well, and their mother abandoned them because she couldn't get them out. So we rescued them, and we raised them in the children's bathtub until they were so big that they were able to jump out of the bathtub, and then we put them back out into the wild. And to this day, no rabbit chews anything in my garden.
Oh, wow. That, yes.
It's on the network. They know. I don't, you know, maybe it's just a coincidence. All I know is that everybody else has rabbit damage, but not me.
It's a karma thing.
It is.
That's right.
It's strange, but that's the way it's worked at my place.
That's pretty cool.
Great. Now all my listeners are going to be out trying to feed the rabbits. Getting their own
that's right.
I was just going nice to say, we better kind of reset this whole premise here, because this is rather unusual.
I think we're being historical here.
Carson Arthur is online from a radio station
in Belleville. Yes.
Yeah.
And you're live on your station, 800 AM CJBQ. Am I right?
Exactly. And you're live on your station, 8 AM 740.
That's right. Well,
I don't think this has ever been done.
It's very cool and exciting.
It sure is.
And I've been talking about how I followed you from the beginning of your career.
Oh, really?
Yeah, from the beginning of One Garden to Looks, I was watching because that's right when my show was taping. So you were on just before I started.
I remember one time meeting you on the street. We were both taping like at houses a block away.
Wow.
And I was out wandering, smoking a cigarette. You were probably out wandering, looking at gardens. And before you knew it, we were chatting on the sidewalk.
Amazing. Yeah. And I still love your show. Like, it's one of my favorite gardening shows when you and Dennis take over two spaces and
Thank
create
you.
Completely different looks. It was fantastic.
It was a really good idea. I wish that was sustainable. That's the problem with Garden TV. It's so expensive to make.
Yeah,
and I talk a lot, too, about advertisers. Advertisers don't like to nationally promote gardening shows because there's not a lot of advertisers who have national gardening sections.
Right.
So a few of the box stores, but they tend to make more money on things not gardening. Yeah. So it's a little hard for the gardening culture out there in Canada.
I agree.
I think an important little line that is on the front cover of your book is, the book is called Vegetables, Chickens, and Bees, An Honest Guide to Growing Your Own Food Anywhere. I think that's rather clever.
Yeah, so you've been growing a lot of chickens and bees and vegetables these last few years, I understand.
Yes, well, I decided to escape the city, so I moved out to the Prince Edward County area, and I was fortunate enough with my partner to get a 6.5-acre little hobby farm.
Nice.
So, and I just assumed that as a landscaper, I should be able to grow all kinds of vegetables.
Of course, because you know what you're doing.
Exactly. Plants, plants, right? Come on, zucchini, cucumber, who?
Yeah,
I made so many mistakes in the beginning.
Yeah.
So I just actually started documenting all of the mistakes I made.
Right.
And then started looking back and laughing at, wow, did I ever not know what I was doing?
Well, but that's just part of the, you know, we think we know a lot, but nobody knows everything, right?
Exactly.
And we're always still learning, which is part of the joy of gardening and so much of life, right?
Absolutely. And is that part of the reason why you teach horticulture at Humber?
And at Durham College? Yeah, part of it. It is. I know a lot, but I'm always learning, and it's so much fun to teach. I mean, it's a pain in the ass to do the marking, but the actual teaching is very fun. It's just, you know, sharing and sharing amongst the students. Mm-hmm. And frankly, Carson, horticulture got very cool in the last year and a half. I think it's got something to do with the legalization of cannabis. We have some very keen gardeners out there.
I just got a cannabis question about 5 minutes before I jumped on with you. Yes,
did
you? I agree. So how are you telling people to look after cannabis right now?
You know what? We haven't had a lot of cannabis questions on this show. Certainly my students, many of them are there because they want to get into the industry.
Right.
But I don't teach specifically on cannabis. A lot of what I teach is general principles. Everything is species specific. So whether we're talking soil science or we're talking entomology or we're talking horticultural principles, it's all in a big general sense, and do the research for your chosen crop.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more. And I keep telling the average homeowner who thinks they want to grow their four plants to plant them far away from the house because the smell is perfect.
It's amazing much it smells. Yeah. You just touch some of these really new fancy hybrids they've got out there that really smells. No, it really does. It's quite amazing. I mean, and then, of course, when you harvest them and you hang them somewhere, then they really smell.
Oh, brother,
The off-gassing is something incredible. So where is your studio located right now?
We are in downtown Toronto. We're in Liberty Village.
Oh, so how are the black flies and mosquitoes there?
Not.
Yeah.
Pouring rain.
Don't have a problem.
I walked out this morning and got swarmed by both. It was
really?
Oh, yeah.
Yikes.
Interesting.
It's not a good thing for the gardener this weekend in the Belleville-Quinney area.
Because of all the rain.
Well, the rain, we don't have a lot of intense sunlight right now. The temperature is absolutely perfect for the bugs.
Right.
So it's a little rough today.
So yikes. Have you got one of those bug suits?
They don't make them in my size. I need the extra large.
Yeah, they don't make. Yeah, it's true. They are kind of limited, but they do work. Those bug suits.
I mean, absolutely.
They're all made of screens, basically.
Yeah, mesh.
Yeah, it's all mesh, and when they're well made, they work really. We used to use them when we went fishing up north at this time of year, because that's exactly right. You just can't even blink without things going in your eyes and up your nose and everything else.
Exactly.
So this is interesting because as I think I mentioned to you, my husband and I are building a home out in Prince Edward County in the Rednersville area. And one of the things we're doing is we're building a screen porch off the back of the house.
A wise move, I think.
I know.
From what Carson's saying.
I know. Everybody's going, that's a lot of extra money. I was like, I don't care. There's no way I'm going to have to stay inside because of the bugs. You know, like if I want to have a martini outside and the bugs are out, I'm in my porch.
So, Charlie, you've just basically let everybody know that you're going to be their neighbor.
Well, that's exciting. I'm really looking forward to moving out your direction. You're in the Bloomfield area, I believe.
Well, I'm just outside of Bloomfield. I'm sort of between Bloomfield and Wellington, and I'm kind of in the wine route, so I'm surrounded by wine.
Great spot. I often go to Lake on the Mountain for holidays.
Amazing.
And you're going this summer.
Yes, I'll be there in mid-August.
Frank's going to help me move, actually. He thinks he's taking a holiday.
She's roping me in on all this stuff now. Gee.
Amazing. So, Charlie, are you actually moving here officially, or is this going to be a summer home?
No, it's an official move. We sold our house here in Toronto. We're moving in middle of August.
That is very exciting, because then you can come do my show for me.
Oh,
that,
yeah, if you need me to, I'm happy to.
There we go. Now I've got summer vacation. I'll like,
do you do your show year-round?
I don't, okay. Only because I've been doing a lot of filming in October, November for HGTV.
Right.
So I just take a break from the radio show. Do you do yours year-round?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Every single Saturday, you know, 52 of them every year, we're here.
Oh, and you get into indoor plants?
Yes, we do. And we get into all the Christmas stuff. You know, just the seasonal stuff becomes very important to people. And bulb planting in the fall and house plants, obviously, in the winter. Orchids are a big deal. And then there's always so many events going on here, Carson, that I like to promote things that are going on. Like there's a big orchid show at the Toronto Botanical Gardens every Valentine's weekend. And so we often get experts in, bring them in to talk orchids, and people love that.
Yeah, I love that concept. We don't get as many shows out in this area, you'll find out.
Yeah.
Lots of plant sales are happening right now. Which is
no kidding. Yeah. They're everywhere. Yeah, we had like five or six going on last weekend, and there's another three or four going on this Saturday, too.
Yeah, same here. And unfortunately, with the bugs, I'm feeling a little worried for a few, especially the Sterling Gardens Club today. They're not going to have the best turnout either.
I know. These are rain or shine events. Well, is it raining there where you are?
Not at the moment. Is it raining in Toronto?
Yep. It's pouring.
Yeah.
So it's heading this way.
Yeah. It's been pouring for the last, like, hour, I'd say 2 hours, maybe.
Not good for my little garden center.
Yeah. Tell me about the garden center.
So I decided to do a garden center that was a little bit different. I wanted to focus on edible and heirloom varieties of food.
Mm-hmm.
So we're growing, we're working a lot with Freeman herbs, and we're growing a lot of plant material that is really just kind of fallen out of favor.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to bring it back, and a lot of the tomato and pepper varieties and a lot of that kind of fun stuff.
Oh, nice.
But we're also doing gardens to go. So knowing that in the county we had over 1 million tourists last year,
We're
trying to make gardening accessible by planting these self-watering planters that you can take back to your condo balcony.
Mm-hmm.
And they just look after themselves. Neat. Yeah, and you can pick whatever herbs you'd like. And we're going to carry herbs all summer long. It'll be fun.
Now, so where are you located? Where's your spot
Gardens
located?
Yeah, it's actually just in Wellington, just outside of Wellington on Wilson Road. It's actually beside my house.
Oh, okay. So in Wellington, there was the place, it was called White's Garden Center. It was there for years and years, and then various things happened, and it went out of business.
Right.
You didn't consider that location, did you?
I did, and Sandy, who's the owner, she's a good friend of mine, but it wasn't my space, and I wanted to really invest in my own space.
Right.
I keep telling my accountant it's where I'm dumping the HGTV money.
yes, very.
Sandy turned White's into an ice cream parlor.
Oh, okay.
So I visit her basically every other night.
I was going to say, that's a good spot to know.
Carson, refresh my memory. It is Wellington where there's an antique store that I love the name, Dead People Stuff.
That one's in Bloomfield.
Oh, it's Bloomfield, okay.
6 minutes away from Wellington. And we're quite fortunate to have some real characters in the county.
No kidding.
And soon to have another one.
I was going to say, just what the county needs, you and me.
Exactly. So we've only got 1 minute left. Charlie, what's new for you coming up in your world? Other than moving out here?
Other than packing, purging and packing, that's pretty much my life. I do a lot of consulting at this time of year, and I have a brand new website. My daughter created it for me for my birthday. So charliedobbin.com.org.ca, any of those is a constantly evolving website. So that's pretty exciting. And I definitely do quite a bit of consulting, planting, pruning, garden coaching, if you will, with clients at this time of year. So that's really what I got on the go. Besides, with Frank every Saturday here on AM 740.
Perfect. Well, hopefully all of the listeners will check your website, start tuning into your show, you know, when my show's not on the air.
I was going to say. Well, are you podcast by any chance?
We're getting there.
Okay.
It's just a fun little thing that started, and then all of a sudden it kind of took off.
So good.
We're playing catch up a little bit.
Nice. Podcast are worth
it. Exactly. We're going to a news break.
Must too.
Same here. We're into a break ourselves.
Thanks, Carson.
Delightful to meet you.
And you too, Frank. Thank you very much. We'll see you soon in the county.
Absolutely. See you soon.
Carson Arthur, vegetables, chickens, and bees, an honest guide to growing your own food anywhere.
And I imagine this book is available just about anywhere.
I would think.
Because books are these days, whether it's Indigo or, you know, online.
Now, I want to thank Lorraine and Evelyn for hanging on the line. They've been so patient waiting to have a chat with you, Charlie. We'll get to you in just a couple of moments here. I do want to mention we do have a couple of lines open right now in Toronto, 416-360-0740. And then anywhere in the province, it is toll free, 1-866-740-4740. Charlie Dobbin returns in just a moment.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And Charlie, we got to thank Evelyn and Lorraine for hanging on the line for over half an hour, for gosh sakes. Evelyn in Toronto, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much, and happy birthday, Frank.
Oh, thank you.
Morning,
great
Evelyn.
Great birthday. My daughter's is tomorrow.
Oh, lovely.
And I have to thank you for bringing Carson Arthur on. He's so wonderful, and I've watched him on City Line, so I didn't mind listening at all.
Oh, good.
Oh, that's great.
Good to hear.
So thank you. We have a patio at the side of our house, and a number of years ago we had some flagstone put down and plants sort of around that patio, but they abutted against the house. So we have had a blue spruce and a burning bush.
Mm-hmm.
So the burning bush, unfortunately, died, and we removed it last year. But about a third, I guess, where it was sort of beside the blue spruce, that part of the blue spruce died.
Mm-hmm.
So the rest of the plant is the shrub is fine,
mm-hmm.
Except for this area. And Charlie, I was wondering if you have an email, if I could send you a picture as well.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
Most of the spruce is alive, and mm-hmm. I'd hate to bring it down, but I wonder if there's any chance of any foliage coming back.
Is it a traditional Christmas tree shaped blue spruce, or is it a globe?
It's a Christmas tree shaped. It's sort of a miniature one.
Oh, is it? Okay. Because I was going to say, the most, you know, blue spruce are famous for being really cute when they're young, but massive when they grow up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And are often planted in the wrong position in people's gardens as a result. So that, I mean, I know a case where the people actually had to change their front door to the side of the house because they could no longer get in their front door because the blue spruce got so big.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? It's not a blue spruce. It's an Alberta.
Oh, okay. A dwarf Alberta.
Sorry.
Gotcha.
Okay. I have a blue spruce as well, but it's an Alberta.
Do you have a piece of paper and a pen handy?
I do.
Alrighty.
And I can send a picture.
Okay,
so.
Okay. Here it is. Charlie's email address. It's c.dobbin, D-O-B-B-I-N, at mzmedia.com. Of course, if you're from the States, it's mzmedia.com. There you are. Yeah.
Okay,
yes. Send a picture. Alberta spruces are pretty forgiving. So send a picture. What you're going to do likely is some very light pruning or shearing, mm-hmm. and going to try and force some fresh growth, particularly in the areas where there isn't any growth. And your timing is perfect because it's in the next week to 10 days that this shearing should take place in order to push some new growth.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay. So I look forward to seeing your email, and I'll respond accordingly.
Thanks so much, Evelyn. And to a very patient Lorraine, who's on the line from Cambridge. Welcome to the show, Lorraine.
Hi, thanks. I didn't mind waiting, but my cat was not impressed. He's sitting on the phone. Anyway, I have a little hint, too. I know you clean your shears with alcohol, and I couldn't find it. It was in a shed somewhere, but anyway, I thought, I think I have some vodka. No, I don't have any vodka, so I used gin, and I didn't even do my junipers.
Oh, man.
But that's such a waste of good alcohol.
Yeah. No, well, it's too cool yet to sit with a gin and tonic.
True. But you're right. Any alcohol does act as an antiseptic, so to speak.
I've got the cleanest throat in town.
Anyhow, yes, I know it's not a good thing, but I want to transplant a clematis.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had it for several years, and it's just a little wispy thing.
Mm.
And I wanted it to cover up the fence so I don't see my neighbor's garbage cans.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, do you have any hints?
So I wonder why it's such a little wispy thing. How much sun has it been getting?
Not enough.
All right.
That's why I want to move it as well.
Yeah, so the trick with clematis is it's okay if where you're planting it is fairly low light in the sense of, you know, morning sun only or that sort of, we call it, so we say, clematis are happy when their feet are in the shade, but its head is in the sun. So you want the clematis to be able to grow up into sun, but they do like what we call a cool root run. So if it's a bright, bright, wide open, sunny spot, then plant a plant in front of the clematis to provide a little bit of shade on the crown and the base of the clematis. In terms of tricks of the trade, to move it, cut it right down to start with, so it'll only be 4 to 6 inches tall. And of course, when you're digging, try and maintain the soil around
Keep
the roots.
As much soil around the roots.
Yeah, so that it's a nice root ball that you, and you're ready to go. You've got your hole pre-dug where it's going.
Right.
So it's a matter of doing a nice proper cut all the way around, dig from underneath, and then take that whole root ball soil attached to its new location, get it into the ground right away. I do tend to use like a transplanter type fertilizer or bone meal when I first plant or transplant something, just to encourage roots right away. So don't expect your clematis to do anything too amazing this year. All its energy is going to be below ground.
Right.
Next year, of course, again in the spring, you'll cut down to whatever makes sense, and when it'll grow right up and give you lots of flowers next year.
Okay, well, this area is good because there's other, there's two other clematis there in the area that are doing well.
Good.
Well, that's
there
great.
There you go.
Okay,
that's
thank you.
Always a good indicator.
Thanks so much, Lorraine.
Thanks for calling.
All righty. On this rather rainy morning, a little bit of sunshine coming through there. All righty. We have to take another break. And coming back, we're doing a tour of the countryside. We're off to Guelph momentarily to say hi to Ian here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
So, Charlie, it's off to Guelph we go. There's Ian. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning.
Morning.
Wanted to make a comment for the lady who had the drainage problem, the unneighborly drainage problem.
Yes.
I think it's municipal law, likely where she lives, that you cannot drain. Can you imagine if they drained and it was near your window well and it went into your basement?
Exactly.
When you build a new house, you have to have it inspected for the drainage
right.
to eliminate that. So she could give a call to her municipality and find out if it really is legal.
Yeah, she is in Oakville, so hopefully she's still listening. But I agree with you. Talking to a local counselor is where to start.
Right.
Excellent.
I want to ask, I have a small stand of ash trees that are all dead, and I wanted to cut them off about 6 feet tall to put birdhouses and things on. Do the ash beetle still continue eating them, or do they only like them when they're alive?
They love them dead or alive, but they prefer them alive. Once they're dead, they will typically move on because they will have, it's a 1 year cycle for the emerald ash borer, and they will have completely tunneled throughout the ash, which is what kills it.
Yeah.
Makes
yeah.
it a very brittle plant. So when you're taking them down, be careful. They're kind of unexpected the way they fall and the way they break. But I think that's a good idea. I think that you would find that the borers are preferring the live over the dead, so they're not going to spend much more time tunneling into your already dead trees.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling, and good suggestion on the law.
And a final call, I would suspect here, is a first-time caller.
Nice.
Hey, that's for Carol in Brighton, where, correct me if I'm mistaken, Carol, there is a Proctor Theater.
There is, as a matter of fact.
Good morning,
I don't
Carol.
Own it.
You don't?
No.
Oh, you should. Being the theatrical.
Glad to hear you're moving to our neck of the woods, Charlie.
Yes, thank you.
My question is, I purchased a Persian spire tree. It's a beautiful little tree, and I was so excited. But I've planted it, and I'm worried that it has transplant shock.
Oh.
The leaves at the ends are starting to turn brown. And when I planted it, I put bone meal before I planted. And since then, the only information I could find online suggested sugar water a possible, thing that would help. And so I have done that twice.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't. You're going to end up attracting insects like ants, et cetera, with sugar water. So so you've just planted it this past spring?
It's 2 weeks ago.
Okay. Obviously, the rain isn't a great thing. But I mean, it needs rain. We need water. You did go into a reasonably fertile, well-drained soil, I hope?
Yes, we had amended the soil with lots of sheep manure and, triple mix and so on.
All right. Well, you know what I'm just reading here, because I actually wasn't familiar with Persian spire, but it sounds like an absolutely beautiful tree.
Oh, it is.
It is an ironwood. Now, it's just saying here that one of the things that makes this tree so special is that in the spring, the leaves emerge with a strong purple cast.
Yes.
It fades to shiny green, leaving a purple halo margin. So I'm just wondering, that's not what you're seeing on your leaves, is
it? No, you can see the purple, like there are some healthy, you know, leaves still on the tree, and you can see the purple margin on those leaves.
Okay.
But the other ones, you can see where they're actually getting brown and crispy.
Crispy. All right. So how often have you been watering this plant?
Well, we've had a lot of rain.
Right. So you haven't really watered
it. No, I haven't watered it. I've maybe watered it a couple of times. We've had so much rain. And I've been checking the soil with a
Good idea. Yeah. Like a trowel or even a moisture meter.
Yeah, to see that it's still good and moist.
So, you know, Carol, what I would do is, be careful to not overwater. And just the only other thing is, when you planted it, did you make sure that it was no deeper than it had been in, whether it was in a pot or bald and burlapped? You didn't go any deeper, did you, than it
no,
was?
No, we didn't.
We were careful.
You know, we made sure that we kept the root at the soil level, that it was in the pot.
Okay. Yeah. Because the stem typically is quite, you know, straight up and down parallel, and then it will flare at the base, and you want to make sure that flare is just above ground level.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what? So, for now, I wouldn't panic. I mean, it's been cool. It's been wet. So, be careful and don't overwater, obviously. Give it a chance. I wouldn't do anything besides you did the bone meal. That's great. I would water at the most probably once every 4 or 5 days if it gets hot and sunny. Mm-hmm. It was very windy the other day. Did you stake it? Does it require staking?
We did stake it, and then I was worried that maybe that was causing trouble, but
no, probably not. It's probably a good idea if it's in a windy spot to stake it. Make sure that whatever you've tied around the tree is, you've staked it low. You're wherever your wrappings are that you've, because you do want movement in the top part of the tree. You're just trying to stabilize the root ball for 12 months at the most.
Right.
Is it a guaranteed plant if you had to take it back? It's from a, I wouldn't worry. It's a very tough plant. Ironwood is an excellent plant in our, you know, in Southern Ontario. So I wouldn't be overly concerned. A few leaves is not indicative of what's going on in the whole tree. All right. Thanks so much for your call.
Okay, Carol, thank you.
Let us know how that goes.
Absolutely. And just about putting the wraps on things.
And where'd the show go? Where'd the time go?
Oh, my gosh. Busy show it was,
no
too.
No kidding. Huh? So, you know, I just realized all this chit-chat with Carson and, you know, him joking that I could help him with the show. I just want to point out to everybody, I'm not leaving this show.
Good point.
I will be in maybe bad weather doing it by radio, but
Larry
I will
McGinnis
be here.
Going, oh, wonderful. Now I've got to find you.
No, I will be here. I'm couch surfing every Friday night.
There you are.
Thanks, Frank. Big happy birthday to you.
Thanks
to all the great callers. See you again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.